End of the Blender, episode 47.
You're listening to Into the Blender with your hosts, Chooch and Viv.
You can hear us discussing topics ranging from co-parenting a blended family to gaming to media reviews.
Or whatever shiny object catches our eye that day. Your heart's beating for me. I'm just waiting to see. Where's the line that you would draw behind me and never let me be? But it really does. Hey everybody, this is Viv.
And this is Chooch.
And we're chilling on a Sunday night. What are you doing?
Me or them?
Them. I know what you're doing. You're facing me. You're right there. Ask that.
But as I believe we've gone over before,
it doesn't mean they
cannot hear.
It doesn't mean they can't answer. It's a give and take. It's not all about us, honey. And we never got any feedback on that whole legal issue, zombification, you know. The legality, mm-hmm. All that stuff. I was hoping we'd get somebody that had some background, but
unliving trust,
like crickets chirping. The unliving trust. Yeah.
It did get me to think, though.
That you ended up with a whole little Twitter back and forth with Christiana and some other mm-hmm. folks on that issue.
It made me think that I've been thinking way too much about zombie preparedness.
Yeah,
because there's a lot of other things to be prepared for.
Yeah, termites. No.
Well, if they're unusually large termites.
Yeah, you don't care about the household stuff. It's the...
So there's...
Big stuff you care about.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's not just zombies. There's... Could be alien invasion.
Godzilla.
Alien invasion.
You already said alien invasion.
Robot uprising.
You're really worried about aliens.
I think I'd mentioned like giant insects.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody else had said, I don't know, giant something else. I was like, or giant reptiles.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, maybe we could just have one giant category.
Quote, giant.
Because do you really need to prepare differently for giant insects versus giant reptiles? And Christiana was always said, just have a category for giant anything that isn't normally giant.
Yeah. She just cuts right through it.
This list recently got...
Yeah, Saturday night.
Very fleshed out, which we'll talk about in a minute.
I never saw the fleshed out list because I was doing dishes while all this fun was going on.
That's pretty massive. You can see it now.
Mm-hmm. We're talking about the list, right?
Do you want to be talking about the list?
So we saw Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
During our amazing, fantastic, magical weekend that occurred
last
weekend.
An epic, epicness.
Mm-hmm. Well, we started off with our friend P.G. Holyfield, author of Murdered Abaddon Hill. Go buy it if you haven't. You can get it on Kindle. Super cheap. You don't even have to wait for it to get delivered if you order it on the Kindle. It's just right there.
Bling.
But anyway, so he came out late Wednesday, and stayed until Sunday just visiting. We'd been wanting to get together for some real... gaming time that we mm-hmm. keep talking about. So he came out and we had such a fun time.
Yeah.
We played the Game of Thrones board game and we went and saw, like you said, Scott Pilgrim, which was amazing.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Neither of us, I don't remember if PG had or not, but neither of us have read the comic.
He had not. He has since read first one.
Because it is based on a comic book.
Graphic novel.
Comic book and same thing.
Okay.
That was reminds me of one of the things as I Neil Gaiman talking about how he was at some hoity-toity publishing event or something, and you know, somebody comes up and says, "And what do you do?" He's like, "Oh, I draw comic books," or something. Like, or I think like they introduced themselves and he said, "Yeah, I draw comic books. Hi, I'm Neil Gaiman." Neil Gaiman. Sir, you do not make comic books. You make graphic novels. And he was just like, I make comic books.
Well, there are people out there that would be offended by calling it just a comic book. So we're trying to cover our bases here.
Well, if Neil's
be politically
not offended,
correct.
I'm not
look
offended.
At people do not all follow Neil Gaiman's, you know, scale of insult. I'm worried about our listeners. When Neil Gaiman listens to our show, then I'll worry about it.
Yeah.
Okay.
He could.
Yeah.
Might.
Hi, Neil.
It's possible.
So anyways.
It's not likely.
So anyways, we went and saw Scott Pilgrim, and I'd seen the ads and it looked cool, but I really went because it was Michael Cera, and I'll see. Mm-hmm. His track record's pretty good with me. I'll see anything he's in.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, you know, the big push, all of our friends, everybody was going to see it, talking about it. We didn't know what to expect.
Yeah.
It was fantastic.
It was amazing.
That was like the happiest, 2 hours that I've had in a long time. And mind you, I had just seen Inception,
mm-hmm.
which I loved. I know you haven't seen it, and it's bitter here because of that. But that was a really fantastic, phenomenal movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then Thursday night, we watched Kick-Ass, which we hadn't seen yet, which PG had seen. He brought it with him to watch with us. Loved it.
Yeah, it was like, oh, wow. Yeah. Amazing comic movie.
That's a great
so much
movie.
Fun.
It's controversial because there's so much violence
with the
young girl. Which I can understand people taking issue with that. It was a pretty hardcore stuff.
Yeah, she's brutal.
Yeah. And I mean, the first time we see her, she's getting shot, you know, practice shots taken at her. But so it's a really shocking movie. And it was really good, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so the next day we finished it. You know, we go to see Scott Pilgrim, and it's almost like being overstimulated little crack babies. It's just our little geek hearts were so happy and so full. Yeah. But Scott Pilgrim was different because it was, you know, a much lighter tone.
Oh, yeah.
It was still kind of dark, but not dark like Kick-Ass was. And
it was more alternative, quirky than dark.
Yeah. I mean, you hear video game sound effects throughout the whole movie. And it's like this beautiful combination of video games, really great music, and this whole superhero thing with a love story. It's just really, really good. So if you haven't seen it, I'm pissed at you because Scott Pilgrim's like in 10th place. It's only made $20 million since it was released. Everything in the world is beating it. And I just, I'm shocked because it's such an innovative movie. I think maybe it's just because I love video games and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But the way they did it was fantastic.
That's obviously, you know, it's a very comic booky movie. It has lots of swirly pows and stuff like that. But even if you're not into comics, because I'm not into comics at all, I read very few.
Mm-hmm.
But it has all sorts of pop culture references. Mm-hmm. It has tons of video game references.
Yeah.
Lots. It's got a real kind of, it's interesting because the soundtrack is really kind of alternative. I wanted to say 90s, but very modern, but it still has kind of a even throwback. Retro 80s kind of feel and some of a grunge feel.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's done in such a fun way that even if you don't have, you know, the comic interest or the gaming interest, it kind of has something for everybody.
Yeah. It's just really funny.
And for anybody who has seen Shaun of the Dead and enjoyed that or Hot Fuzz, the same guy, the same director.
Yeah.
Directed it.
So it's tongue in cheek, you know. It's not, I mean, those two movies were more spoofs. This isn't really a spoof, but it doesn't take itself super seriously. Mm-hmm. It's just really a fun story.
Yeah. And Michael Cera, he's pretty much plays the same character.
Yeah. I'm hoping to see him, as much as I love him, I'm hoping to see him do something different.
Yeah. But it's still fun. He does it so well.
It's perfect for him. I didn't see that Year One. What was that movie?
Yeah,
was that what it was called?
Jack Black.
Yeah,
I never
saw
that either.
Jack Black cancels out Michael Cera for me. It's hard for me. I think the only thing that I really liked Jack Black in was he was good in King Kong, but he had that crazy over-the-top thing kind of stripped out. And there was something recently that he was in.
The video game Brutal Legend.
Oh, yeah, he kicked ass. I mean, he's perfect for a video game. Are you kidding me? That was awesome. He voiced the lead character in the video game Brutal Legend is what we're talking about if you haven't seen it. It's very, you know, heavy metal kind of mindset video game. It's very, you know.
He's the ultimate roadie.
Yes, it's really a fun game. But so we just absolutely love Scott Pilgrim. If you haven't seen it, get off your butts and go.
Yeah.
It's probably a little more than you want young kids to see. Starla Hutchton had actually asked, you know, what do you think about it for kids? And I linked her to that Kids in Mind movie review site that we have used in the past.
Yeah. So it's PG-13.
Yeah. And it's, I think it belongs there.
I think it's okay for some kids a little younger than 13. I think it got the 13 because it's very violent. Mm-hmm. But I mean, not much younger. But
well, it's not like Pulp Fiction violent.
Right, because it's video game violence.
Right.
You know, there's lots of martial art combat stuff.
Yeah, and weapons.
Which,
and
stuff. You know, wouldn't have a PG-13 if they were turtles.
Right.
But because they're people.
Yeah.
But there's no blood.
There's no blood. There's coins.
There's intentionally no swearing. Yeah. There's censored swearing for comedic effect, where they put so a giant funny. Block across the
that
face.
That was hilarious. Oh, yeah.
So there's no swearing.
No.
There's no sex.
There's a homosexual storyline, which some people could have a problem with. That probably contributed to the PG-13.
Yeah, that's true.
Well.
That's true. But they don't actually show sex or anything. It's just that his roommate happens to be gay.
Yeah.
And they happen to show them waking up with men in bed.
Yeah.
But just in bed under the covers, not having sex or anything.
Yeah, it's not, I don't even think they were like shirtless or anything.
So they do
like
a
that.
Lot of kind of gay jokes around that,
yeah.
around him being his roommate.
But it's not, there's nothing really untoward or anything about it. It's a lot cleaner than what you would see on a soap opera in the middle of the afternoon for sure. But it's just, it's fun. You know, it's definitely, it's, if you've seen Kick-Ass, it's not nearly.
Oh, no.
Kick-Ass had to be rated R.
Yeah.
So this PG-13, if your kid is used to playing video games and that sort of thing, then definitely for a little bit younger, that'd be cool. So it was just really good. And I want everybody to see it. We barely made it home. I was just like, I got to get that soundtrack. I got to get that soundtrack. As soon as we got home, we bought the soundtrack from, I think we got it from Amazon.
Yeah.
And just have played it nonstop.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic, I just love it. I love the soundtrack. And I want to go see the movie like 10 more times before they yank it out of the theaters. So that was fun. And then that was Friday. We saw it Friday. Mm-hmm. And then we got back and finished up the Game of Thrones board game until like 2 a.m., which was really stupid because the next day we did our annual party. We call it BlenderCon because we're such creative and into the blender. Let's have a party and call it BlenderCon.
Well, the first one was because we couldn't go to DragonCon.
Right.
So we thought, well, we're going to have our own con.
Yeah.
So we had Blender. That's where
it
was born.
Yeah, and then we stopped the con aspect of it almost immediately because it's expensive and time-consuming. So we just had a big, you know, party. We threw some things on the grill and we had some stuff like shredded barbecue chicken, that sort of thing. And of course, the chocolate fountain, which is now a tradition.
Yep.
And we invited a bunch of friends and wish we could have invited even more people. But I mean, we have a house. We don't have a hotel. So, you know, because of that, we're limited on how many people we can invite. And people that live far away, we got to try and have crash space for them. And so it was a bummer that we couldn't invite everybody that, like, we've met this year. There's a lot of people we met this year that I would have loved to have invited. But we just have space limitations.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people came. We had a fantastic time. And then I've been listening to Jared Axelrod's new podcast. And he actually has been podcasting for many years, like 5 years. He did The Voice of Free Planet X and The Aliens You Will Meet, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And he started a new project, which he launched at Balticon this year, called Fables of
the Flying City.
Right. And I hadn't been listening to it. I was kind of waiting till there was a bunch of episodes because I like to, you know, get a lot at once, if not the whole thing. So I've been listening to that, and he was talking about, you know, the whole thing where Apple celebrated the fifth anniversary of podcasting, and then a lot of people like Murr, and he spoke about how it's actually been 6 years. It's only been 5 years that Apple's made them available on iTunes.
Right.
So he said on one episode, you know, in the chatter before, he said, you know, we got to do something in August to celebrate the sixth anniversary of podcasting. And I was like, hey, we're doing something in August.
Right.
We should do something in BlenderCon. And right before that, J.C. Hutchins, the author of Seventh Son, had posted a link, which he posts some really fantastic links. Let me just say that I love some of the stuff that he links in Twitter. And he had linked to this spectacle of a dessert. And I was like, oh, that's what we're making. So we didn't tell anybody we were making it. Mm-hmm. Well, PG knew because he was there while I was cussing in the kitchen trying to make it. But what it is it's called a cherpumple, C-H-E-R-P-U-M-P-P-L-E. And you can do an internet search on it, and you can see the video of the guy that invented it making it, which is how I figured out how to do it. And what mm-hmm. it is it's a three-layer cake, and it's got a pie baked into each cake. So the bottom level is a spice cake, box cake mix with a pumpkin pie baked into it.
Mm-hmm.
And the middle level is white. And I did it exactly the way he did it. So the middle level is a white cake mix with a cherry pie baked into it. And the top layer is a yellow box cake mix with apple pie baked into it. And then you stack it. You know, you frost between each layers and you stack it and you cover the whole thing with cream cheese frosting. And I was like, oh, sixth anniversary, six desserts in one. It's perfect. Now, mind you, I had already bought everything for the chocolate fountain. So it was just like, oh, we're going to give so many people diabetes. It's not even funny. So baked it, and it was really hard, and it was really ugly. It was an ugly, ugly cake. And that cream cheese frosting was the main problem because it's really slick and sticky.
Mm.
And I did just like he said, and I used the cream cheese frosting. And I thought, oh, I really wish that I could use a different frosting that would be more forgiving and cleaner, you know, when I'm frosting it, be prettier when it's finished.
Mm-hmm.
But I did just like the video, and it looked like a monstrosity. It was just hideous. But we were trying to wait for Jared and JR to get there because it was, you know, him. It was his idea that had me make it. But they were running late coming from Philly because traffic was so bad.
Yeah.
So Paul Fisher and Martha Holloway were there, and they had to leave. And I wanted Paul to be there as well because I know he's been podcasting for a long time.
There was a good number of podcasters in attendance. So we kind of asked everybody who has been podcasting the longest. And Paul was right there. He was in the, like the second wave of when podcasting really took off, which incidentally was interesting because just this last week, you know, a week after the party, Dave Slusher actually had his sixth anniversary episode on Friday, I guess.
Yeah.
And which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, Paul was within the second wave, so he had the longest record. And so
of the people in the room.
Right. So he blew out our big giant number six candle that was on top of the Jerbumple monster.
Mm-hmm. And so after he blew it out is when we said, okay, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And it was pretty funny because Chooch was videotaping that part and you could hear everybody go, what? And so then trying to slice and cut, I was going to have Paul do it, but I thought, no, this is going to be messy. So,
and it was heavy when we moved it from one side of the room to the other.
It's a cake pie, cake pie, cake pie.
Yes.
It is heavy. It's not an insignificant. It was almost, to make it the size cake pans I used, it was almost the complete box mix.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a full cake with a pie, another full cake with a pie, another full cake. Yeah. It was significantly
You feel there. Every ounce of sugar as you move it or taste it.
And fat. So I grabbed this big knife and I had to kind of slice through it and saw through it. And got these big oversized plates to serve it on because, you know, it's probably like 15 or 16 inches tall, stacked and frosted. And the first slice came out and it was just like, ooh, because you see the spice cake layer, the pumpkin pie, and then you see the two white cake layers and it was just really, it's a spectacle.
Yes.
And it was a big hit. People were just very excited and could not wait. And I kind of thought we'll cut a couple slices and everybody will be like, oh, it's so cool, but nobody would eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That sucker very nearly, there was like a quarter of it left, which is still a huge, you know, a quarter of a cake pie, cake pie, cake pie is a lot of dessert. So it was really hilarious how many people wanted it. And people, two and three people were sharing it. And I think most people just tried the different layers and didn't really finish it. But it was just, I was shocked at
and
how
every
much
layer
went.
Was great.
Every layer
of
was
Of course,
great.
You know, I don't know if it was everybody, but a bunch of people, I saw them scooping out a piece of each so they could get it all on one fork.
Oh my gosh, really? I didn't.
Yeah.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
I didn't. I just did the individuals. What was it like with all six flavors?
Wonderful.
I'm sorry, seven, well, including the frosting.
That was specifically what prompted Smar's tweet,
which was
I guess it was Smar's statement that I tweeted.
Yes, it was Smar's statement. Our friend John
Smar stacked
Smar.
Them all up onto one fork and then put it in his mouth and Yeah, after he just kind of had this look of bliss. Swallowed it down and said, I had no idea the throat was capable of orgasm.
He also, as a doctor, he made several statements about, you know, people getting diabetes and cardiologists being thrilled. And I think he even at one point said that 5 diabetics in the area just dropped dead because right. of the amount of sugar.
Yeah. That may have been after we launched the chocolate fountain.
Oh, yeah.
Which you...
I had already bought everything for. So right, we right. waited about an hour and then we did the chocolate fountain, and which is like 6 pounds of Ghirardelli semi-sweet chocolate and, you know, marshmallows and graham crackers and pretzel rods, which is always a big hit, and pound cake and strawberries and bananas and Chooch's favorite, the Nutter Butters.
And this year you added Oreos.
And I added Oreos. And
which I think is my new favorite.
Is it really?
But what I was going to say is what you did, the temptation of the chocolate fountains running.
I did the challenge.
You pull out the rest of the tripumple.
I did. There were a bunch of people, you know, the initial push past the chocolate fountain. Because first you get the, oh, I can't believe we've got chocolate fountain. I just couldn't. And then they all run in and grab strawberries and start dipping them or whatever. And so it was after the initial people push through the chocolate mm-hmm. fountain line had gone through, and there were people just milling around. I know PG was in there. I can't remember who else was in there. And I saw the tripumple, which actually with that little quarter of it left, it started tilting. It was mm-hmm. finally losing its structural right. stability. So Paulette Jackson, who was here, she took a fork and she kind of propped it up and kind of kept it upright. But I grabbed it and I walked into the room with the chocolate fountain. I sat on the table and I said, I'm throwing down a challenge. You know, like, I dare you to take Trebumple through the chocolate fountain and eat it. And then I just kind of went back to the kitchen and was talking to somebody because I didn't really think anybody would.
Oh, right.
Well, apparently, no video, no pictures or anything. PG took up the challenge.
Yes.
So.
He crossed the streams.
Yeah, so. I really wish there had been some video of that, because I'm sure that he had at least a couple of organs shut down.
He's still alive, yeah.
So far. So that was a lot of fun. We had a really great time. I think I went to bed at 9:30 the next morning.
Yeah.
I was staying up because we had guests that were leaving at 8, and one of them decided to stay up all night rather than sleep for 2 hours and try to get up and drive home.
Yeah.
So I stayed up with him and then made a big breakfast for the people that were leaving early. And
yeah, I turned in early. It's like...
Five, yeah.
In the morning.
Yeah. And our son, M, got home around midnight, and he hung out with us, and we had a great time talking and hanging out and stuff. And so that was a lot of fun. It was just a fun night all around.
Mm-hmm.
Exhausting and foolish, but amazing. I love when we get all of our friends together. And we got to introduce people to new people that we've met.
Mm-hmm.
And see new friendships. And that's always, I love that. I love bringing new people together, because I think it was John Smarr and John Taylor Williams that were standing there talking, and they're like really hitting it off and mm-hmm. having a great time. And he's like, so who are you on Twitter? And they share their Twitter names, and it's like, oh, you, oh, yeah. I just love that moment, you know.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. People that have already interacted and they don't even know it,
right.
You know. It's so funny.
Yeah. Well, as most people headed out, it was pretty much the people that were staying the night that were from out of town.
Mm-hmm.
And so as we were kind of winding down and talking, that's when we played the video of The Truth About the Universe.
Oh, yeah.
Which was something that was presented at Balticon
mm-hmm.
with Jared Axelrod and John Smarr doing a talking to slides that were put together by their wives, Laura Burns and Jared Blackwell.
That they had not seen yet.
They hadn't seen the slides. So they were going to give The Truth About the Universe, which they're just making up on the spot.
Total improv.
It was hilarious. And I had approached them after they did it and said, hey, you know, if you want to give me the slides, I'll make a video out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll get the audio that was recorded and then put it together into a thing. So I had finally, we had some delays getting everything hooked up and getting together. And I finally got it together, and so we kind of showed it and, you know, had fun watching that. And somehow we got on to talking about the zombie apocalypse preparedness and we need to prepare for other things.
Right.
So since I had the laptop there, I popped up Google Docs with the list I already had, and we started brainstorming to flesh out the list.
I wish we had thought. I'm so bummed that we didn't. We planned on showing that Truth About the Universe video earlier during the party.
Yeah.
But just there was so much going on. There were, you know, we had so much fun. There was so much conversation and laughter and gaming and stuff.
And it's all online now.
Yeah.
I can link to it.
Oh, yeah. Link to that. Because it's really funny. It is. It's about 30 minutes long from beginning to end, if that long.
Yeah.
It's
20 something. Yeah.
Funny. Jared and John Smar are just hilarious. And poor Ariok Morningstar had been added to the panel. I don't think he got a word in edgewise.
Yeah, he got added as the moderator. Mm-hmm. And so the slides are going by like 20 seconds a pop. And so they would have a brief lull and somebody would say, so what do you think about that, Ariok? And then boom, it would change. And then this happened.
Yeah. But he was a good sport about it.
Yeah.
It was hilarious, though. I had missed that panel because I was getting ready for a panel that I was doing. So Chooch went, and he was like, oh, you should have been there. It was hilarious. Oh, it was great. So the fact that you put it together, the audio with the slides, and did the little intro and put it out there in different file formats so that people could watch it, it was really awesome. And I know I'm grateful because then I got to see it and find out what all this business about Nancy Spock was.
Doing business.
Yeah. So that was more fun than should have been allowed that whole weekend. It was sad having PG leave because it was like, well, we didn't get to do this and we didn't get to do that, so you have to come back.
Yeah.
It was so fun, though. And we got to, Billy Flynn and the Flynnsters from Geek Radio Daily came out. And I just always feel like I don't get enough time with Terry. I just love her, the Flynnsters. Mm-hmm. I think she's fantastic. She's so funny. And she's just a crack up. It was a lot of fun. And John Taylor Williams and his wife Mia came out, and I just love them to pieces. Honestly, I could just like put them in my pocket and carry them around all day long because they're just fantastic and so interesting and funny. And there's just, absolutely. I mean, there's more people than we could possibly mention. It was, you know, friends that we've had for 3 years and friends that we've just made in recent months. And it was, or not recent months, but people that I feel like we've really gotten to know better in recent months, like at Lost Balticon.
Yeah.
There were a lot of people that weren't able to make it and they were missed, but it was just so much fun. And I just always wish that we could make it like a whole long weekend, like a Friday night to Sunday thing, because it just never feel like you get enough time to talk to people.
I'm going to do it like once a month.
Ooh. Let's win the lottery and we'll buy a hotel.
Yeah. Because, we need to fly a bunch of people in. And.
All right, let's go buy some lottery tickets. We'll spend the mortgage on lottery tickets. We're bound to win with one of those, right?
Absolutely.
The odds are in our favor at that point.
Yeah.
How can we go wrong?
It's the perfect plan.
That was a lot of fun. It definitely did my heart good because, you know, it's been a whole, 5 months since Balticon. And and we're not going to go to DragonCon. We don't have the financial. It's just not there. We just can't afford it. It's like $1,000 or something crazy like that when I looked at everything.
Tough choice.
But. Yeah. We choose the house. Well, technically we choose the cars. But we're not going to get to go to that. So it was really good that we got to see everybody. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people.
Yeah.
And have that good time before fall gets here. Everybody's too sick to get together. And then winter gets here. And the roads are too bad to get together. And... So that was awesome. Can't wait until next year. Already planning it.
Yeah.
We already figured out one of the things we're going to do, and it's going to be cool. So didn't we have a voicemail, babe?
We have a voicemail that has been waiting and waiting.
I know.
And waiting. I feel so bad.
Yeah. We've talked about it a couple times, but then we couldn't figure out where it went to. Because normally we get an email, and there was no email.
But I found it.
Dun, dun, dun.
It has been recovered.
And it's from, 2001.
Not quite that bad, but
not that old.
From April.
Oh my God. April. Jeez, I was joking. That's terribly old. Cue it up, baby.
Hey, Chichu Bib. CA Sizemore. I'm Phoenix, Arizona. Just calling in with a little bit of a similar question to Nobilis's, actually. We've got two kids in our household. One is 18. He's a foundling. His parents kicked him out at 18 because he would not quit high school. Not because he was quitting high school. No, that wasn't the problem. He wouldn't quit high school. So that's why we let him come. Okay, get in here. You know,
that's insane.
We'll get you through to the high. Get get high school over with.
Yeah.
And that was part of the issue. The other issue is his parents are ultra-conservative, and they have a gay son. Irony sometimes is a biatch.
Mm.
But here's my problem. It's the weekend, and the kids and his brother and another friend were over for the weekend to play video games and, you know, crusty gamer weekend. And those three boys can get crusty quick.
We recognize. But
I come home this morning. I'm getting my gear off. I ride my motorcycle to and from work every day.
Mm.
And I'm getting my gear off, and I trip and almost crush the drum set from the Guitar Hero game we bought for Christmas because it had been left out in the middle of the path.
Mm-hmm.
This is not the first time. This is not the second time. It's about the fifth or sixth time that the equipment has been left out. This is the first time where it's been left out and I almost tripped. And I'm one of the more mobile members of the family. So I got irritated. I picked up the games. I stuck them in my room and I left a note on the message board that stated where the games were in my room and what the conditions were on their return, i.e., I wake up again and the garage is cleaned. Well, when I wake up to get ready for work, the garage is still in the same mess that it was. This area, it's the garage of the house, but it's really a playroom. And there's controllers still all over the place. It doesn't look like anything's been moved one inch. So, yeah. I know you guys won't have any suggestions that will come into effect before I deal with this situation, which will more than likely be tomorrow morning. But what will you guys do? How would you guys handle this? And I will talk to you later. Thank you for the show. It's been very insightful. And who the fuck 3 years ago? 3 years ago now? Wow. 2 years or whatever it was ago, I started listening to your show. I'd actually be parenting. What happened?
It sneaks up
it
on
does.
You.
It does. Gets you. Sneaks up and doesn't let go. Well, yeah, we were just talking about how we're almost at our third anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
October will be 3 years for us. So I'm very flattered that you've been listening even without kids. That I guess we're doing something that's more interesting than just kid talk. That is a sticky situation because, you know, like the way we've done things, I've been like the lead on discipline mm-hmm. for my two kids from a previous marriage. But if anything happened and Chooch set anything down, any rules down or anything like that, then I backed him up. And it has never been an issue. We don't do corporal punishment, spanking kind of stuff. So it's not like we have to worry about that whole dynamic. And we just back each other up when there's a punishment put down. We do try to talk about them beforehand to make sure, like, you know, I'm not being too strict or whatever. But I don't think that that's an unreasonable thing at all. And if that's the norm, if you are normally a disciplinarian and that's something that they're used to, then you putting that requirement down is completely fair and completely, mm-hmm. I completely support it. You know, if that's the standard dynamic, something they're used to, like I said, then they should just do it instead of waiting around to see if they actually do have to do it. And this is four horrible late months later. But I mean, had you kept those video games away from them until they did what you instructed, I would have totally supported that.
Yeah.
Because you've got to back up what you threaten. You know, if you're putting a punishment out there, you know, do this or this will happen, you have to do it. Otherwise, mm-hmm. they're going to call you on it, which is, it's really hard sometimes if you react immediately and your first instinct is, I don't know if you watch Modern Family. Do you remember that episode where the dad at Christmas time said, that's it, no Christmas, Christmas is canceled. And so they didn't really want to cancel Christmas.
Right.
And he just had this tantrum, knee-jerk reaction, and they had to deal with it. Now they had to be consistent because he said it. So the whole family had to give up Christmas. And, you know, they had, like, all these conflicts because of it. And it was hijinks ensued. It was really funny. but it's very true. You have to back it up. So hopefully they caved and they did what you said and they got their video games back that way.
So we think the next level of escalation would be if, you know, like he's going to come home the next morning or the next, and it's still not cleaned up.
Like it hadn't at all been cleaned up?
Right.
Then I would start tacking on other punishments because at that point you're kind of at a stalemate where it's like, well, you know, forget it. I don't need it. I'm not going to do it. And we've had that issue. So it's almost like you can, and it's fine. I think it's fine either way. You just say, okay, fine. And you take it and you physically lock it up somewhere where they can't get it because maybe they're getting to it when he's gone.
Yeah,
and they aren't really missing out and they're going, you know, kind of thing. Make sure that it is truly locked up and secured. Make sure that you have the other adults that are, you know, the other parenting roles are with you on it, that they're in agreement. Talk with them. See if you guys, knowing the kids, can come up with something to, okay, that didn't work. That's fine. Okay. Yeah. But every time something similar happens, you have to come down in a consistent way. So if they're supposed to do the dishes and they don't do the dishes, then you punish them another way. Take away the entire game console instead of just the drums. You kind of, because we have dealt with the, well, I just won't do that anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care.
We may have talked about it before, but we had kind of a hierarchy of things to take away.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, video game is one level. Computer access is another level.
Mm-hmm.
Television.
Mm-hmm. Telephone.
Eventually, yeah, telephone, iPod.
Texting, the whole thing.
Basically comes down, the only thing that we never take away is reading books and drawing.
Mm-hmm. I don't even like taking away outside play.
Yeah.
Get up, go outside and play.
Oh, yeah, that was like the last.
Yeah, that was the last thing to get taken away because I don't want them sitting around the house doing nothing. Mm-hmm. You know, there's enough sedentary activities now. Leave them with that stuff, which sounds stupid, but, you know, that's just how I am. I'd rather have them moving. So, you know, it's hard, and I'm sure you figured something out. And if it's the 18-year-old that's doing it, then you're running into that, I'm an adult, you can't tell me what to do, crap. And, you know, it's essentially your house, you're paying the bills. You establish rules. They have to follow those rules or they can't stay in the house.
Yeah.
And it is fantastic and amazing that you guys took in the 18-year-old. It sounds like he was in a really horrible situation.
Yeah.
Rejection from his parents. And it's just ridiculous to not want them to graduate high school.
Yeah,
that's insane.
That's hard to imagine.
Yeah. People, I mean, they're crazy people everywhere. And they have their values skewed sometimes. And when you throw something like homosexuality into two people that can't handle it, then they may have wanted him to just get a job so he could move out and didn't care anything else. They just wanted to get the gay kid out of the house, which is just horrible.
Hopefully they come to terms and.
Yeah. Cause that's going to haunt him. That's going to haunt the child forever. The man, child, whatever. But so anyways, that is just amazing that you've done that and that generosity. It's phenomenal. You know, big salute to you for doing that. It's just hard when you're, you know, when our oldest is now 19. He essentially moved out when he was 18 to live with his grandparents. Mm-hmm. We never had that problem. You know, he moved out to live with his grandparents because his grandfather works at a school at a university. And so he gets a 75% reduction on his tuition by being a dependent, by living with his grandparents. And, you know, in all senses, that's his home. And he comes and visits us, you know, like twice a month or something like that. He comes to hang out. But that's why he lives with his grandparents, to get the tuition reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So when he comes to visit, it's like, you know, we haven't been fighting over get your laundry out of the dryer. We haven't been fighting over take the trash out. We just get to hang out and have a good time. Yeah. So we haven't encountered that aspect. I remember doing that myself to my parents, you know, having that bad attitude. But so, you know, you're in territory that we're not in. But I think that, you know, you were right to come down, because that's not just risking breaking video game equipment. It's also dangerous. You could have really gotten hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just no need for that. Put your stuff away. It's very simple. If it wasn't the 18-year-old, then you really have every right to come down really hard, you know, without having to deal with the, you know, you're an adult kind of negotiation.
And it sounds like they're all old enough to more than know better. And
absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So definitely would have locked that stuff up to make sure that they didn't have access to it. And if that didn't work, take the entire console away if you hadn't already, so that it wasn't just the one game that they couldn't play. And escalate from there. And I'd love to hear how it turned out, how, you know, you guys resolved that. So if you're still talking to us and Chooch has now refigured out the voicemail thing, I think he can repeat
it. Well, yeah, the number that we have on our little outro thing, I don't know if many people had noticed, but the number changed. And we were using the eVoice service, and now we've got a Google Voice number.
Oh, okay. That's so, what happened.
Yeah. So we definitely get notified and everything.
So this is the right number?
Yeah, the current number, if anybody wants to call, is 657-464-4820. And that's what's in our outro thingy.
I don't think that that's the number that's on the website, so we need to change
that. I'll double check. Yeah, both numbers still work.
Okay. We just didn't know about them.
Yeah, they both still work.
And I've been nagging Chooch because I said, CA told me in Twitter that he sent a voicemail, you know, where, you know, we've got a, and he just, Chooch just couldn't find it. And then finally realized this older number. So we'll check the website and make sure that number is updated. But CA, please give us a call. Please accept our greatest apologies. I'm so sorry that we didn't get to it sooner. You know, we're kind of special. We're special people. And we move slowly sometimes, but we've got it sorted out now. So thank you so much for the question and for the call. And I really hope it's working out. It's a really admirable thing. And it's really hard when you are parenting kids that, you know, aren't your biological children. You get into so many weird issues. But it sounds like you're, you know, trying to teach them, you know, the right thing to do and responsibility and all that. So it's very admirable. Well, it occurs to me, Chooch, you didn't say what you would have done.
Oh, it's right there with you.
Oh. Well, that's fascinating. No. Well, that's cool. I mean, it makes sense because we've come by these through a lot of conversation, what we do. So.
Yep.
One thing before we go that I wanted to mention, something we've been spending our time on, is a new podcast project by Christiana Ellis and Mike. How do you pronounce his last name?
I believe it's Mateen. That's how I remember them saying it for Want to Watch a Movie.
Yeah. They have a new podcast project that they started a month or two ago. I'm not sure exactly when, where they're going through the AFI, the American Film Institute's top 100 movies.
Of all time.
Of all time. And there are some remarkably old movies on that list too, when you go through and look. But, you know, it's something that Chooch and I have kind of talked about in the past wanting to do, and we've just never started it because it's kind of it's
daunting. There's a lot there.
100 is a lot when you're talking about, you know, 2 hours typically.
Right.
But so what they're doing is they're going through and watching them from number 100, you know, all the way to one. And they're doing a podcast every second episode. So they did, their first one was like 199. And then they did, the next episode was like 98, 97. And the discussions are fascinating. We are behind them, sadly, just because that's how we roll. A little slower than everybody else. But we just watched number 93, and there are a couple of movies ahead of us, like I said. And I'm really enjoying the podcast. We're doing it as, we don't do any research. We're watching every movie, whether we've seen it or not. Mm-hmm. Like we rewatched Toy Story. We've rewatched Do the Right Thing and Pulp Fiction, just to kind of follow it along and see how we feel that the movies are stacking up with the AFI list, and not doing any research or anything like that, just doing it as like a pure experience. And it's been really interesting. Like the first movie we had to watch was Ben-Hur, which I never wanted to. I was like, oh, really? I don't want to watch Ben-Hur. And it was, you know, it was what I expected, except for the fact that it was a very religious aspect that I didn't realize.
Yeah.
But so we've watched all these movies, and then after that, then I listened to the podcast. I don't think you've listened to the podcasts yet, though.
No, I haven't. We've listened to a couple together, or at least partial.
French Connection watched together, yeah. I know we listened to the French Connection discussion because we did not like that movie.
No.
And I was like, well, Christiane and Mike always have something really interesting to make me understand why it's on the list. Yeah. So let's listen. And so we did. We figured all that out. And
I had kind of tweeted a couple times while we were watching it, which you did too.
Yeah.
And I got a bunch of responses back. Yeah. Oh, just wait, man. The chase.
The car chase.
It's all about chase.
The car chase scene.
And I hadn't realized the chase had already happened. Yeah. I was expecting a car chase, but it's a car chasing a train.
Yeah.
It's like, and I remember looking on the DVD. Okay, we got 15 minutes left. So there's going to be an epic chase is going to happen.
It's going to be amazing.
I didn't realize that it had already happened.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yeah. I was thinking it was cars, but it was a really cool scene the way that they filmed it. It was very well
shot. Yes. Yeah.
There was this one shot that was just really cool. But we the car chase was hyped up to us to the point where when we saw it, we were like, oh. But, so we haven't had the same enjoyment that Mike and Christiana have had. But I just love listening to it. And like the Pulp Fiction discussion, they went through practically scene by scene by scene, mm-hmm. which sounds like, oh, well, I just watched it. I don't need them to discuss it. But I love the way they discuss the topics. Mm-hmm. You know, the discussions are just very interesting. They at the end of that one, they said, maybe we went too long. We'd like some feedback. And I put a comment saying, oh, not too long for me. Because they did like 30 minutes on French Connection, which was, fine because I didn't like it. And I wanted to hear their thoughts on it. But like Pulp Fiction was like 2 hours or 2.5 hours or something like that. Wow. It was a really long discussion. And I totally enjoyed it. Do the Right Thing had a really long discussion. And I really enjoyed that one. And actually finally submitted some feedback on that. If you haven't checked it out yet, I really recommend, the AFI list. If you have Netflix, they're all 100 movies are in Netflix.
Yeah, some of them are streaming, but they're all at least DVD, if not streaming.
Yeah, you can get it sent to you. Many of them are in Blu-ray, and I really recommend it. They've even already got the AFI list in their Netflix database, so you can click on, Critics Picks or something. I can't remember mm-hmm. what the header is and find the AFI list and just add to your queue from there.
Yeah.
And it's a really fun ride. Really enjoying it. It's fascinating to me. Some of these movies that really are not very good, but they're on there for some historical significance mm-hmm. or another. And so that's really interesting. And seeing the slew of movies that have come out recently that are so damn good on a lot of different levels, like Inception, I can't wait to see how the list gets shaken up.
Right.
And some of these movies that really, they're at the end, they're 93 and below, but it's like, I can't believe this. I can think of like three other buddy cop movies that are so much better.
Yeah.
But there's a historical significance.
For their podcast, they have a couple movies that aren't on the list that they were surprised weren't. So each episode, they do their own
ranking.
List, their own ranking.
And they've actually now just had their opinions split because until recently, they were in total agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had Amadeus and My Girl Friday that they put them like on a shared slot and were moving them up around the list as they felt appropriate.
And those were ones that weren't on the top 100 at all.
Neither of those movies are on that list. And I totally agree with Amadeus. I haven't seen His Girl Friday yet. The movies that I was really shocked at that weren't on were Color Purple and what's it called?
Transformers Little 2, Big Revenge Man. Of the Fallen.
No.
Avatar.
Little Big Man.
Ah, okay.
Which is Dustin Hoffman as, he's raised as an Indian. It's just like this really, it's really old. I've never really heard people talk about it. But, my dad loved this movie because he's part Indian and so it really resonated with him. So I've seen the movie like 24 times, and I think it's a fantastic movie. So those are two movies that I was really shocked that weren't on. But anyways, they're re-ranking things. And so we're in agreement on a lot of movies and other ones. I'm like, I just don't get it. But so it's really interesting to see those differences. They're re-ranking. And I'm actually blogging about it, not anywhere near as interesting or in-depth as they're doing. I'm just doing like a 3-paragraph, my opinion here of this movie that we just watched. And I'm doing that on my vividmuse.com blog. But I really think people should check out the podcast that Mike and Christiana are doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of fun. It's very educational. They really do a lot of research And I really only do research when it's something I don't like, trying to be like, what the heck?
Right.
Like
Yankee Doodle. So what's the story?
Right.
Why is this on the list?
Why is Yankee Doodle Dandy on the top 100? Because I can list five fantastic musicals that aren't on the list, you know?
Right.
And then to find out why. And then the same thing with French Connection. That was based on a true story. Yankee Doodle Dandy was based on a true story. So you get it that way. It's kind of lessening my enjoyment not knowing that beforehand. But again, I'm judging the movies based on right. what they are. Mm-hmm. And like Last Picture Show, and I think also French Connection, looking at it in 2010, as opposed to 40 years ago when it came out,
mm-hmm.
39 years ago, we, what?
Yeah, 39, because they came out of my birth year.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't not mean 40. To not old 40 like you, Viv. I turned 41 next month. So yeah. But so they came out in 71. They're very old. The times are different. The cinematography is different. Mm-hmm. What you're used to. It didn't even seem like a big deal to me. Last Picture Show was black and white. That didn't right. even register to me that that was one of the things that made it stand so out just that thinking, year.
It's an old movie. Of course it's black you're and right. white.
No, all the movies were in color in 71. Duh. And it was kind of a part of what they were trying to. It was one of the personality. What am I trying to say?
Yeah, they used it as an effect or as a.
But having it in black and white.
Set the mood.
Right. It was something that the director wanted to make a statement with, having it in black and white, making it very stark and all that stuff. So that's, you know, it just didn't occur to me until it was like, oh, yeah, it was black and white. And duh, all the other movies that year were going. So it's just little things like that that you don't catch on that way. But. We're also just judging it purely on the movie other than the 40 or so that we've already seen from the list. And I'm really excited to work our way up to Citizen Kane. I think it'll be great and see if it yeah. really deserves to be number one. Goodfellas is next though. I'm excited to see that. That's on the way.
Yeah, I haven't seen that in a lot of years.
Yeah. I've seen pieces of it all, you know, it's when it's been on cable and stuff. Mm-hmm. I've seen the whole thing several times. I just love that movie. It's so interesting. So yeah, go check that out. Seriously, it's really interesting. And everybody should see those 100 movies. I mean, if we have to watch them. We understand through Yankee Doodle Dandy, you should do. It's only fair.
But then we'll have to publish our own lists.
Yeah. That
modified lists.
Yeah. I was planning on doing that every 10th movie instead of every two movies like Mike and Christiana, but I think I'll forget. I think I need to do it now and then do it like every five movies.
Mm-hmm.
So that I don't lose track of, you know, my initial response to the movies and stuff. But
yeah,
it's real interesting. So go check that out. You can go to ChristianaEllis.com, I think is her website, isn't
mm-hmm.
it? And yeah. she has all of her fantastic stuff there. The Hey, Wanna Watch Movies, the Survivor podcasts, you know, her fiction podcasts. She's prolific. And
yes.
Good gravy, your tummy. We just had dinner. Why is it rumbling?
Processing.
Oh, it's digesting. But she's got a lot of fantastic projects out there. So just go to that website and check out all the awesome there. So I think that's pretty much all we had to talk about tonight, though.
I think so.
Yeah. Hopefully we didn't overwhelm your ear holes, but we'll go ahead and say goodnight now.
As always, thank you very much for listening. And we'd love to hear from you. All the details will be in the outro.
Yeah, so pay attention. Get your cell phone at the ready because you're about to hear the number again. Take it easy, everybody. We'll talk to you again, hopefully in two. We'll see.
In two. You never saw Love Connection, game shows?
Uh-oh.
He would always go, and I'll see you in two and two. That's exactly how long commercial breaks are, 2 minutes, 2 seconds.
Oh, good gravy.
Into his little fingers flipping back and forth.
All right.
Somebody out there remembers it. I can't be the only one.
I didn't watch those kind of, I really was not into game shows that much. See, there was a little something extra there for you there. You learned something new. Two and two. And Viv didn't really watch game shows. So we're really saying goodbye now. Laters.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Into the Blender.
You can find information, comment on episodes, and subscribe to the podcast at endoftheblender.com.
You can send us email to endoftheblender@gmail.com.
Or you can leave us a voicemail at 657-464-4820.
This podcast is released under a Creative Commons, non-commercial, no derivatives, 3.0 license.
You're free to make copies and share this podcast to your heart's content, just not modify or make money from it.
Theme music is provided by Sharif, found on podsafeaudio.com.
For more information about the artist, head to sharifmusic.com.
That's S-H-A-R-I-F music.com.
To hear everything that happened on their date, we'll do it. 2 and 2, be right back at you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll meet the woman that Chris selected. Hear everything that happened on their date, we'll do it. 2 and 2, be right back at you. When we come back, we'll meet the man that Andy selected. Hear everything that happened on the date. 2 minutes, 2 seconds, be right back at you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to meet the man that Karen selected. Hear everything that happened on their date. 2 minutes, 2 seconds, be right back at you.